we're learning together with Hashem's real kindness. Because how we get to be sitting here in this wonderful place learning this wonderful text is a miracle in itself. But we're here with Hashem's kindness, learning Masechet Sanhedrin, the oral Torah given to Moshe on Mount Sinai. And coming down to us in the form of Tractate Sanhedrin, we're on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page. We're learning in this new Mishnah.
23a.
You're right, 23a. We've been learning this new Mishnah. What did the new Mishnah, The new Mishnah told us about the rules of selecting the court. How do you select the court? At the moment, we're still not clear exactly how it works. We've had a few different opinions trying to explain to us what the Mishnah means, and we're not done yet. We're not finished yet with the Gemara concluding on exactly what the Mishnah means. But in simple terms, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is written in the form of three different laws, at least three, four, can't remember, and each one is a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. The extent of the machloket and what exactly the machloket is between them, we also haven't got to the bottom of yet. We've got the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there's a discussion.
This is having to deal with monetary law, right?
This is in terms of monetary law. In terms of monetary law, we're dealing with monetary law which has three judges. The law of monetary law that we learned on the first staff with the first Mishnah was that monetary cases are judged by three. This Mishnah now moves that forward to say, how is that court constituted? So we have a different opinion between Rabbi Meir and the Hachamim. So Rabbi Meir says, this one picks one, and that one picks one, and then they both pick a third. Right, so we don't know what that means, and yesterday when we discussed in the subject different alternatives to what it means. There's at least three different ways of understanding that. This one picks, that one picks, and then they both pick an extra one. So one way is of explaining is that each litigant picks a judge, and then the judge, the two judges pick a third one. Each litigant, each side picks one judge, and the two judges themselves pick another one. That's one way of understanding it. The second way is each of the litigants pick one judge each, and then between the two of them, they agree a third one. That's another way. Alternatively, it can mean that each litigant picks a Beit Din each, and then those two Beit Dins pick a third one. Meaning, what does it mean? It means that I say I want to be in my local Beit Din, and the other guy says, no, I want to be in my local Beit Din. So they doesn't help. So what do? So they go to the Beit Din, and they say, I want to appoint you. And he goes to his Beit Din and say, I want to appoint you. Those two Bate Din get together and decide an appropriate third court, and you go to that third court.
What I'm told today,
yeah.
Excuse me, if I
want to take... This isn't halakha. So just so you know, this isn't halakha. We haven't gotten to the halakha yet.
If I
want
to take it within Torah, yeah. It's your decision to pick out where I go.
No. So we're going to see here, we haven't got to the halakha yet. We're just talking about what the Mishnah means. There is a halakha depending on who is bringing who to court, and where, whether it's a local court, it's not a local court, whether they're experts, they're not experts. There's different ways on which I can... reject the court. It is halakha. I'm saying we haven't yet got to the halakha. First of all, the Gemara is discussing all the possible meanings of what it could mean, and after the possible meanings, we're going to get to a conclusion. Actually, this is what it does mean, and only at that point you can get to the halakha. So currently, we're in the alternatives. We don't know what they mean, so we've got a few different alternatives, and we have a machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Okay, so let's go back into the Gemara now. To man. Where are
we? You need a sticky?
There we go. Oh, now I found it. Okay, we're in the thin lines. If you count from the end of the thin lines, what we go up 6 lines. 6 lines up from the end of the thin lines on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Towards the end of the line, it says Tanan. Right? And then when you've got that abbreviation. Abbreviation means Chachamim Omrim. Right? Tanan. It was taught. The Chachamim Omrim Shnei Dayanim Borin Lahem Od Echad. If you look back in our Mishnah, right, the Machloket at the beginning, the Machloket was like this. Rabbi Meir says, Ze bore echad, v'ze bore echad, v'shnehem borim lehem od echad. We then said, Chachamim have a different opinion. Chachamim say, Shnei Dayanim. When we get to Chachamim, we actually define who we're talking about now. In the case of Rabbi Meir, we just said Zeh and Zeh. We didn't know which one we're talking about. We're talking about it's a Beit Din, it's a judge, it could be either. It's the litigant. We don't know who's choosing. But once we get to the second half of the argument, Hachamim, who are arguing with Rabbi Meir, they're already telling us, Shnei Dayanim Borim Lahem. Okay. So the Gemara is picking that up, saying, wait a minute. Chachamim omrim shnei dayanim borim lahem od echad. We see from the Mishnah that the Chachamim are talking about the judges picking a third one. Ve'isal kadata to ka'amrinam beitin. And if you want to say that, like we said before, that actually our Mishnah is talking about each side picks a beitin, not each side picks a judge, then it doesn't fit. It doesn't seem to work with our opinion, right? Up until now, we said the Gemara was running with the opinion that it must be talking about a Beit Din, right? We saw that each one picks a Beit Din, and that Beit Din chooses a third Beit Din. That was the opinion that the Gemara had got to. But now, it's bringing a problem, a Kusha. So what's a Kusha? The Kusha is, if you look at that's fine from Rabbi Meir, where he says each one picks one. But once you get to Chachamim, they're already talking about judges. So if they're actually arguing, which they appear to be, there's no reason why they're not. It's just an argument between Rabbi Meir and the judges. They wouldn't be talking about apples and pears. You don't say that Rabbi Meir is talking about oranges, and along come the Chachamim and argue with him and talking about grapefruit. It's fine, but that's not an argument then. It has to be that they're arguing about the same thing. In which case, why is it that the Chachamim are saying judges? If you're telling me we're talking about Beit Din, how many Beit Din each one picks? So why did the Chachamim come back and say, no, we disagree, the two judges pick a third? Where do you get two judges from? We're talking about Beit Din. So that's a kasha on the shita that we just learned. Right? And if so, the Gemara continues. Not only that, but if you want to say, like we said before, that we're talking about Beit Din batar de pasle lehu. Ah, sorry, he's going to come back and give that argument in a minute. He's got two arguments now based on this problem. He brings two arguments. The first argument is Beit Din batar de pasle lehu. Baru lahu beitine achrine. it doesn't make sense. His first argument is different. First argument that the Gemara brings is like this. It's a logical argument. If you want to say that we're talking about Beit Din, that each person picks their own Beit Din, and then those Beit Din, between them, choose a third Beit Din. Does that make sense? Because why do we say that they need to pick a third one? Because we said that each one can reject the other one's Beit Din. So the Gemara is saying, does it make sense that after that Beit Din has been rejected, that it can now go and choose a third Beit Din? It's been rejected. I don't want that Beit Din. I've rejected it. I've cancelled it. So now, how can you say that it's in a position to choose a third Beit Din? It's not acting for me. I cancelled it. I rejected it. It's not... You said, I want to go to this Beit Din. I rejected it. I said, let's go to this one. You rejected it. And now you want those two rejected Beit Din to make a third one? Doesn't make sense. It's true. You could argue around it. Say, even so, maybe that's the way, that's the procedure, that's the law. But, and that's why I think they bring two different problems. Because what here one's not enough. You could get around. But on a pshat level, it looks problematic. It's enough to throw up some reasonable doubt that it doesn't really make sense. You could argue against it, but... So that's one argument you could bring against... Then. Like afterwards, later, then. So that's one argument against this shita about choosing a Beit Din. Va'od, and secondly, my zeborer lo achad, the zeborer lo achad. Why does it say this one picks and this one picks? From the language of one, you can infer it means one. Doesn't necessarily, if you're going to tell me a Beit Din, so say the word Beit Din, you use the word echad. Echad, again, it's not a pure argument by itself, because you can say, like we said, echad means one Beit Din. So here it's going back to the question, well, echad just means echad. It doesn't have to mean a Beit Din. If you're going to be different than the Dayanim, so you would have said, don't just say the word echad by itself. If you actually mean Beit Din, just say Beit Din, particularly if you've got the rest of the Mishnah which is talking about Dayanim. Right, so you're going to have to make it clear that you're not just talking about what the rest of the Mishnah is talking about.
Which? In a court of three.
Okay.
Said, this court of three chooses for itself the chad v'zeh. That the zeh means shalosha.
No, the zeh definitely means a litigant. No one argues that the zeh means a litigant. It's only the zeh bore lo echad. It's the echad that we don't know what it is. Because there has to be the litigant choosing the first court or choosing the third, right?
Okay,
so that, so we have now have two caches. They're caches on the Mishnah, on that way of interpreting it, and saying that we're talking about Beit Din. We're Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, middle of the page, a few lines down from the wider lines.
The big?
Huh?
The big one?
Okay, Ella. So rather, so the Gemara says, so we're going to have to give you a different answer. We're going to reject the answer that they each chose a Beit Din, and we're going to have to come up with something else instead. Ella, hachi kamar. This is what it's saying. K'shezeh bore lo dayan echad. So now we're saying it is a dayan. When this one chooses one judge. And this one chooses another judge. Shnehem, both of them, we still don't know what the both are, but both of them, Borim Lahem Odechad. Both of them, here in Rabbi Meir, we're talking about the litigants. right? Because Hachamim say no, it's the judges that choose. No, the Chachamim say it's the judges that choose the third. Here, Rabbi Meir is saying each one of the litigants chooses a third. Sorry, the two of them together choose a third. I'm missing a board. Any of these still work?
We need to get a drill and anchor bolts and just drill that in solid.
Rabbi Meir says this chooses one, this chooses one, both choose a third. Right, that's Rabbi Meir's statement. Hachamir.
Want to put that on the chair?
Would it be easier? If you guys can see them, then okay, but I don't mind. Don't know if it'll stay on the chair, that's all. I think over there, it'll slip on. Can try them on. Hachamir say, Hachamir only argue on this bit, right? They agree with Hachamir, but arguing on the third statement. You can break Rabbi Meir into three. Hachamir are arguing on this third statement. And they say both judges choose a third. Right? So Hachamim say this is the Mishnah. This chooses one, this chooses one, both choose a third. Hachamim come along and say, no, both judges choose a third.
It could be the same thing.
Well, the Hachamim have to be arguing for a start. Right? Hachamim are not going to be saying the same thing, right? So if they're arguing, then it means this is what they're arguing on. They say both judges, that's the only statement that's different. So it must be that this, that Rabbi Meir is not saying both judges, it can't be if they're arguing. So it must be both here, must be both litigants. That's the only other option.
But right? How could the litigants pick a best thing?
Pick a what? A judge. Talking about judges now.
Okay. So if one rejects one judge, the other one rejects the other party's judge, then how are they agreeing on a third judge? Yet they rejected each other's judges.
It's a good question. We'll come to it. It's a very good question. Because we use that to disqualify the first opinion on baiting. So how can we use the same argument for judges? That's very sharp. Okay, so this one chooses one. So now this was the one that we didn't know at the beginning. What does that one mean? We first thought that it's Ben Beitin. Now we know that that judge. That one is a judge. So this is a litigant. So it really means, right, this is now the full understanding of our mission. This litigant chooses one judge. This litigant chooses one judge. And both litigants choose a third judge. Right? That's Rabbi Meir. And the new understanding. Hachamim, they haven't changed. Hachamim, we always knew what Hachamim meant. No, we always knew because it was clear. Both judges choose a third.
This litigant chooses one judge, this litigant chooses a second judge.
Yeah.
And the only difference between Meir and Hachamim is that both litigants and the other
right.
one is both judges.
Exactly, so right. So that's the right. And that's the argument that now exists in the Mishnah. We now understand the Mishnah and we now understand the argument between the two.
Yes.
Otherwise Hachamim agree with Rabbi Meir. On this bit, and they're only arguing on his third statement.
For Hachamim, does that, for judges, does that mean? more than one judge as in Besden?
No.
Or individual judge?
Yeah.
Each litigant has an individual judge.
Each individual has
a litigant.
How?
Against. They don't like him, you like him. So now they talk together. Let's say you choose the third judge. So he gave a call. I know a judge in.
So it's, you're right. So it's a good question. It doesn't seem to work very well. Rabbi Meir's way. Because you could say that if you're a litigant who doesn't want to be taken to court, you just refuse all the time and you don't agree. There must be, if that was true, there must be a mechanism for dealing with that, right? Where the other person doesn't, it might be that if the other person doesn't choose, because even according to Hachamim, they agree with these two bits. This chooses one judge and this chooses the other, and Hachamim said judges. So this, if he wants to get out of a court case, I'm not choosing any judge, you're stuck, right? You've got one judge, very nice, I'm not choosing my judge. I refuse to choose a judge. So what would happen? So it must be that there must be a default position that if the person refuses, he loses the chance and a Beit Din is appointed without him. Is appointed anyway. Just because he had the opportunity to choose. He chose not. He didn't want to choose.
Don't you do that today in choosing a jury? You can every person on the jury can be rejected, right?
For a start, the jury system is not Jewish law, it's only secular law, right? But in secular law, I never worked on jury selection, but I understand that the advocates, the litigants, the lawyers on their behalf can show why they shouldn't be involved. No, they can show, if they have a jury panel with people in reserve, and they interview the jury to make sure they're not interested financially, or no relatives, they've no bias, right? They weren't part of the Ku Klux Klan when they were a kid, and now they're
up against
they're
not police officers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All that sort of stuff. Right? And so anyone who wants to get out, you're not allowed to get out of jury service. You can be kicked out. So if you want to get out of jury service, you turn up and you explain that in your childhood you had a hatred for people that looked like you. What can I do? I'm sorry.
No, I did enough jury service, and they finally called me, and I'd sit all day. So they had to excuse me because they saw I had limited vision. So the clerks didn't even call me in to do it.
Right.
But I had to stay there all day. But it's like, you can't be an officer of the court. You can't be a police officer. You can't be working for the city. You can't be an attorney.
Well, question.
No, but for this
okay.
one, they wouldn't normally have a default position where you have to pick a court or as someone's assigned to you, right? Now, what if happens if you're in a small community and you only have one based in?
So it would appear that you have no choice. Where there's honest, and the rules can't be applied, so the rules can't be applied. You have to go to that paper. Okay, so this is the new understanding of the Mishnah, right? It's the one that Archibald wrote in at the beginning. From Rabbi Archibald had read through the Gemara and knew that was going to be the case. So when he explains the Mishnah, that's how he explains it already at the beginning of the Mishnah. Right, the Archibald already fills in the blank and tells you this is the answer. But you don't know that until you actually get through the Gemara to know that that's the answer. Right? But so the answer of how to understand the Mishnah. Because we already have three or four different ways of understanding it. So when you're reading the Mishnah, you don't know. Until you get to this point in the Gemara as to what the mission actually means. Unless you've got an art score and it reveals to you on the first page that this is what the mission means. So you miss all the fun of the understanding the other options. Huh? No, at the beginning of the Mishnah, in this book, it explains to you what does it mean? One chooses one chooses the other. And it tells you what it means. It says it means this. But you don't know that. There's a lot of different options before you actually get to this answer. Yeah, to how to understand Rabbi Meir. Right? When you're reading the Mishnah, that's why Rashi on the Mishnah says, apparently we're talking about Beit Din here. Because that's what the Gemara says initially. The Gemara says it must be that we're talking about Beit Din. We don't know until later on. The Gemara concludes it can't be. It must be we're talking about that judges.
Did we cover Rashi in this section?
Good question. Let's have a look. Rashi HaKadosh. No, nothing else. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Maishna da'avdei hachi. Okay, so now we understand it. This is how you pick a Beit Din. So the Gemara wants to know, why? Why do it that way? You could have chosen many ways of picking a Beit Din. The court, the Beit Din itself could say, if you want a Beit Din, come into the court, say you've got a claim, we'll pick one. Done. What's all this? You pick one, he picks one. Why do you need the bother?
Why do you need what?
Why do you need the bother, the tircha, of having him pick one and him pick one and then those two agree? Why don't you go to the Beit Din? The Beit Din will say, here's the court. Take it or leave it. That's what they do nowadays. I get to choose. Fill in the form and they say, you're going to appear on this day and that court. It's that. No argument.
Maybe it's separate. It's for help for the claim of the justice. If they choose them, so they will not have any time after about that general verdict.
Yeah, Amata. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, why? Amar b'marva, they said in the West, Mishmea Rav Zera, in the name of Rabbi Zera, Mitoksha Zeboe lo Dainachad, since this one chooses one judge, the Zeboe lo Dainachad, and this one chooses one judge. Ushnehem borim lahem odehad, and both choose another one. Again, where he's straddling the fence here, it could be either. Both choose, we don't know if we're talking Chachamim or Rabbi Meir, but it doesn't really matter. Both choose another one, whichever way you want to read it. Right, here, Rabbi Zera doesn't say, and both judges choose, or and both litigants choose. He just needs the word both, which means that he could be following either opinion. Or both opinions, right? Correct?
Or choose another one, it could mean that we have two more.
Ah, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Although it wouldn't help us with a debate in the three, but okay, could be. So, and then they both choose, either way, because this chooses one and that chooses one, and both choose another one, Yetse Hadin La'amito, there will come out a judgment which is correct. A correct judgment, a truthful judgment. What does that mean? It won't come out a truthful judgment if you didn't do that. So let's see what Rashi says. Saiti ba'ale dinin, the salvat, that the litigants will be, I think it means satisfied. Why? The savar ha'chayav, because the one who's obligated, the one who comes out having to pay up, right? Hare ani ba'atzmi birarati. He's going to say, well, behold, I myself chose him, ha'echad. I chose that judge myself. Ve'im haya yachol la'afech v'sukhulti, haya me'afech. And if he would have needed to overturn the judgment in my favor, he would have done it. Right, so that's his opinion. And the judges themselves, it's easy for them, it's comfortable in their mind, in their opinion, to uproot the judgment, if you like, to change the judgment of both of them, if Nesha Shnehem Birem, because they were both picked by each other.
What is the reason why they were picked? Because of the place? When you choose a judge, then was this
no.
Because of the place where they live?
No, just because they trust that judge. Right, when you go to court and you get having someone else decide for you, and you don't know who this guy is, right, it could be a lot of money involved. It could be my land, my farm, my whatever. So you want it, somebody you can rely on.
There was a lot of money.
There was what?
They got her in person.
Nahon. But we're talking money. Reality, the Gemara is very clear of the reality of the individual. When you're talking money issues, all ideas of holy people being righteous and just wanting the truth doesn't apply. Ben Adam has a Yetzer Hara. And doesn't matter. And everything is done knowing that you can't, right? You can't rely, you can't trust, you have to. So everybody wants to know that they're going to get a judge that is at least looking after their interests. That's what he's saying here. The litigant, because he chose the judge, he's going to feel at least someone on there is looking after my interests. Someone's going to fight for me if they think that I'm right. And obviously, they didn't. So, Tom, at least my case got heard. But if I choose the judges, right, when I've only been to court twice, right, as a lawyer. And one of the cases got thrown out before we even got to on day one. The judge came over and said, "What are you doing here? Just sort it out between yourselves." Right? So that got finished. So I only went to, I actually had one case that went to a judgment and we lost it completely. But we had a view that the judges of the panel of three took no interest whatsoever in my client's case. Just not interested. They just didn't hear it. They just couldn't hear it. They were just like, right? So I can tell you from personal experience, you could go into a case and think that, well, hello, is anyone listening to me here? Is anyone just like, I don't mind it. If you actually listen to me and you disagree, that's fair enough. But to not even listen, like, you'd be very upset. We're unhappy, want to do appeal. But if you've got a judge that you picked, so you can know at least he was listening to my arguments and he was weighing it up and fighting it. So.
Did you appeal?
No, the only Baruch Hashem in like 12, how many years I was practicing? I don't know, 15, 20 years? 17, 18 years of practice. One time, maybe I think in the whole time, that I messed up. I missed the appeal bit. I never appealed a judgment before, and I didn't realize there was a time limit for getting the paper in, and I missed it. And I had to explain to my client, "I'm very sorry, you can't appeal in this place, I missed the time limit." He was very good at suiting. It wasn't a big deal, it wasn't a big case, So it happened. He ended up with my explanation that they hadn't explained it on the form, that there was a time limit. But people who knew and done this before knew there was a time limit, they just didn't explain on the form, and he saw that it was not on the form. So he agreed with me, he's like, "Top, what can we do?" Poor question. Anyway, so we didn't appeal. But there we go. So that's the reason. So the reason why Hachamim Hashem made the rules of each litigant picking one is that everybody comes away feeling comfortable. So, next. Hachamim Omrim. Right, the Mishnah continues. We're still in this first section. Hachamim Omrim. Right, and now the Gemara is going to look at the question: Why the disagreement? What's going on here? Right, clearly, what's the situation? We can say like this: the situation is as Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says how you pick a Beit Din. Right, it's given to Moshe on Sinai, and the Halacha comes down. This one chooses one. This one chooses one. They both choose a second. Choose a third. And that's what's passed down. When it gets to the Batei Midrashim of the Tanayim are dealing with that statement of Masorah from tradition. This one chooses one, this one chooses one, and they both choose a third. So now there's an argument as in what does it mean they both choose a third? Rabbi Meir says both choose a third. They're talking about the judges. The judges choose a third. Hakamim say no. What it means that they both choose a third. That's what judges say. Rabbi Meir says the litigants choose the third. And Chachamim say, no, that's not what it means. It means the judges. So Gemara was, what's their... Why? You're right, we had a statement, we didn't know what it means. But why do you say this way and why do you say that way? You have to have a... She says, not just... It could be neither. So, you know what? I think it means judges. You know what? I think it means the litigants. the guy is asking behind their opinion, what are they actually arguing about? What's their opinion based on? So the Gemara says like this. Neima b'Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Can we say Neima, let's try out for size and see if it works. Let's say that this argument is like the argument of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. That thing which Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Okay, so what is that thing that he said? Damar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Ein ha'edim chotmin al hashtar. Witnesses don't sign on a shtar, on a document. Ela unless yodin mi chotem imahem. Unless they know who is signing with them. So what's our case? Our case is a different case. We're not talking about this, but we're learning from a different case. There's a case of signing on a document. What tribe is it? Any document? Let's say a loan document. There's a loan between Moshe and Shimon. Moshe lends Shimon some money. If you have a loan, you've got to have a document with two witnesses signed on it. Two witnesses, because you're going to need two witnesses in Beit Din to argue about it. So you're going to have Bezrat Hashem, those same two guys who signed on it. They can sign and say, yeah, we witnessed this loan between A and B. Yofi. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, tells us a law, or a rule, at least, regarding that situation. He says, a witness doesn't sign on a document unless he knows who his other witness is. He's telling you, practically speaking, if Moshe is lending some money to Shimon, and they're drawing up a document, and then Moshe said, you know what, we need some witnesses to this in order for it to be valid. So Shimon says, yeah, fine, have you got anyone? And they see someone walking past, and they say, yo, Yehuda, come, sign on this. And Yehuda says, but you're going to need two witnesses. I say, yeah, you sign, I'll find someone else. So Yehuda is saying, no, it doesn't happen. A witness doesn't sign on a document by himself unless he knows who his other witness is. Right, he's going to have to stay in court, and both of them together, and they can rely on it, and we were both there, and we both... Right, even though it could, you can get one to sign, and one to sign later. So he's saying, practice, it doesn't happen. Why not? So here, in the footnote, it says, one of the reasons why the person wants to know who his other co-signees are is that if it doesn't matter how many witnesses there are, there's two witnesses or 100 witnesses, if one of them is disqualified, then all of them are no good. So he doesn't want to come to court and end up either being embarrassed or wasting his time by the fact that the whole case is going to get thrown out because one of the other guys is Passel. So he at least wants to know who he's going to be up in the witness box with. Right, he wants to know who it is. Right, could be his brother. Right, might turn out his brother. It's not going to be any good.
So does each witness have to ask the other witness, are you qualified?
He doesn't, but he's saying it in the way of, it's not like a given rule that he has to know who they are. But he's saying, generally speaking, he's not going to bother, he's going to want to know who they are. Generally speaking, all things being equal, it's usual, uncommon, and expected that each witness will know who the others are. He's not going to sign by himself. It's not a fast rule, and if they don't, it doesn't happen, it's still a valid document. You can still sue on it, go to court, it's perfectly valid. Rabbi Yehuda is giving us a general rule that we're going to learn from the way people behave. And we're going to learn out from it.
Because they're seeing documents. I think ketubah.
In a ketubah it's different because you need two witnesses to witness the marriage.
Exactly.
But here you don't need two witnesses to witness alone. just need two witnesses to sign on the document. So
right,
it's different.
But you need two witnesses to, two kosher witnesses for the ketubah, and you also need two kosher witnesses for the balloon.
Yeah, but they're different. Because the witnesses in a ketubah are witnessing that the marriage took place. They were both there at the time. They both saw the marriage take place. But here, I'm witnessing. It doesn't have to be that they don't have to be there at the same time. Right? If I come along and witness a document, and I say, I'm witnessing on this document, I hereby sign my name to a document which says, Moshe hereby lent Yehuda 100 shekel. So I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, and he said to me, I'm lending him 100 shekel, can you witness? And I witness
right,
it.
But
and then I go away, and someone else comes along, and we need a witness. For what? And he reads it, I lent him 100 shekel. Did you lend him? Yeah, I lent him 100 shekel. So I've witnessed again, but I didn't witness at the same time.
But I'm saying you have to be a kosher witness. That's
yes, you always have to be a kosher witness. For anything, yeah. Any witness has to be a kosher witness.
Right, that's my point.
Okay, so yes, and then it's the same. Okay. Tov. So now we know that. How does that help us? Rabbi Meir leitle de Rab Yehuda Amarav. Rabbanan itle de Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. So the Gemara wants to say like this, a proposal. Do we want to say that that argument, it's not an argument, it's that statement of Rabbi Yehuda, is what is the difference between these two? This is the Gemara's suggestion. Let's go back to our question. Our question was, why did this one pick that way and this one pick that way? Why did Rabbi Meir say the litigants choose, and why did Chachamim say the judges choose? Maybe we can say it's the same reasoning, the same logic, the same shita that Rabbi Yehuda said about witnessing a document. Rabbi Yehuda said about witnessing a document that the witness wants to know who he's witnessing with. Maybe we can say that's the same shita underlying at least one of these opinions, meaning one opinion holds that way. You're right. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda. People do want us to know that as a witnesses. And the other one says, no, I don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. I don't agree that that's necessary. Witnesses don't care. They're just going to witness the document. They don't care. They don't care who they're witnessing with. It's not relevant. So maybe we can say that machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and everyone else. Rabbi Yehuda says they do care and everyone else says that. Is the same argument here. And try and fit that into the reasoning. How? What's the same reasoning? Yeah, fair, meaning. How would that work? What's there for the one who follows Rabbi Yehuda and says that the witnesses want to know who their other witnesses are going to be is the same argument as which one? As Chachamim. The judges want to know who their third judge will be. In the way of Chachamim, it's the judges themselves that pick the third one. The two judges sit down and say, who shall we make judge number three here? And they agree between them. But according to Rabbi Meir's position, it's not the two judges who pick. It's the two litigants who pick. I pick him, he picks it. Let's agree someone else, and we're going to... The two judges are now sitting with... Where did he come from? Who picked him? So do you want to say that that's what, that's the suggestion of the Gemara? That that's the underlying shita, is the same idea that Rabbi Yehuda brought. The Hakamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda, that really witnesses or judges want to know who they're sitting in court with. And Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not relevant. I don't agree with that shita that you need to know who you're going to be sitting with. Judges are judges. They judge the case. They're going to have their own opinion. Who cares who I'm sitting next to? He's going to have his opinion. He's going to have his opinion. Why do I care who I'm sitting with? It's not relevant. So maybe we want to say it's the same shita. So let's just finish now with the answer. So that's the proposal. The Gemara says, law. No, not necessarily true. The kule, because you can say like this instead. The kule alma eat lahu de Rabbi Yehuda amarav. You can say that they actually both agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them agree with Rabbi Yehuda that in the case of witnessing documents, you want to know who your fellow witnesser is. Right? V'dat ha-dayanim kulei alma lo pligei debinan. And no one, and they both agree that the judges want to know who they're going to be sitting with. They both agree that they want to know who they're going to be sitting with. So wait a minute, so what's going on here where the litigants choose? Ki plige dat va'alei plige. So where they differ, what's the difference between them? It's in the consent of the litigants. Rabbi Meir sabar da'at ba'alei dinin nami be'inan. Rabbanan savar dat ha'dinin ba'inan dat ba'alei dinin lo be'inan. What are we saying now? We're saying they both agree that the judges decide who their third one is. And it's up to the judges to know and to agree who the third one is. So what's this statement then of Rabbi Meir that the litigants are choosing? You're telling me they both agree with this? Yes. They both agree that the judges choose a third, but Rabbi Meir says the litigants have to agree. The litigants also have to agree with that third judge. Just like they each agreed with one judge each, they also have to agree with the third one. The third one is not simply thrust upon them, we have no idea who he is, and neither of them picked him, and it simply came from the judges. They're saying, yes, the judges pick between them, but only with our agreement.
The judges
have said the judge. Yeah, potentially. They have to agree. They have to agree. So the judges, so what's the process now? The process now is we see that actually the machloket of Rabbi Meir is actually much smaller. But all agree that this one chooses one judge. And then another one chooses another judge. And they all agree that both judges choose a third. But Rabbi Meir is adding another condition. That when the judges choose a third judge, the litigants also have to agree.
Question.
Yeah.
Judge means person? What do you call it?
Person. Thank you. Apologies for going over time.